So come to worship the Lord, knowing what Pastor Nathan is going to be preaching, and I hope I'm not stealing any of his thunder. I thought it would be appropriate to begin with Genesis chapter 50, verses 15 to 21. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "Perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him." So they sent messengers to Joseph, saying, "Before your father died, he commanded, saying, 'Thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father.' And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, 'Behold, we are your servants.' And Joseph said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now therefore do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones.' And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them." It's hard to imagine anyone being sinned against in a worse way than Joseph was by his brothers. They first conspired to murder him. Thankfully, Reuben intervened and kept them from their purpose, but then they threw him down into a pit. They completely turned a deaf ear to his cries for mercy. And then when a passing band of Ishmaelites came by, they sold him into slavery. And if that wasn't bad enough, they then concocted a story to tell his father that he was dead, to claim that wild beasts had killed him. And they watched their father sob uncontrollably, his hairs taken down almost to the grave, and they watched callously and didn't care so long as they got away with their sin. And none of us would have a hard time sympathizing with Joseph, would we? If we thought of him as a bitter and angry man who had them completely in his power as the second highest ruler in all of Egypt. He literally had the power in his hand to have them put to death, and nobody would have looked twice or thought twice about it. He had all that in his hands, and yet, nonetheless, what do we find him doing? We find him showing mercy and compassion and love to the ones who had treated him so cruelly. The question is how? How was he able to show such mercy to them? There's two answers to that question. The first is this: we show mercy to one another because we've received mercy from God. As those who've received mercy, we are obligated to show mercy to one another. But there's something else he saw. He looked away from their circumstance to look upon his God and get his gaze upon him. And he realized something that Solomon would write later, that is that man's mind plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. It's what our confession so eloquently talks about as first and second causes. There are secondary causes. Those secondary causes were the sin of Joseph's brothers. You meant evil against me, secondary cause. And God is not the author or approver of sin, but nonetheless, he is always the first cause behind everything. There are no accidents. And he recognized, though you meant it for evil, God, the first cause, meant it for good. It's really the Old Testament version of Romans 8:28, isn't it? That all things are not good, but all things work together for the good of those who love Christ. This morning, we've come to worship this sovereign God. This sovereign God who has everything in your hand, in your life, under his control. If I think about tomorrow, if you think about tomorrow long enough, we can drive ourselves crazy with anxiety. If we really succumbed to the anxieties of tomorrow and what tomorrow may hold for us, the reality is we could be put in padded cells. We could drive ourselves crazy. But what a comfort it is to know that the God who redeemed your soul is also in control of all things. And if he was in control of all things and hated your guts, that's a problem. But he loves you. And all things are working together for your good. And it may not be the short-term good, but it's the long-term good. The long-term good that he's going to make you more like Jesus than you ever were before. Though the good and the bad and the ugly. So whatever tomorrow holds, however hard it may be, God's grace will be sufficient to carry you through the day. But also, you know that your future is bright. Because what has been promised to you is conformity to the image of Christ. And after this present age is over, you will dwell with him forever. So let's worship our sovereign God this morning. Let's open in prayer. Our Father, we praise you and thank you that you are our God. We thank you that you are sovereign over all things and that you are the first cause behind all things. What a comfort that is to us. Lord, we would pray that as we worship you this morning, your Spirit would fill our hearts and enable us to worship you as you deserve to be worshiped, that you will be exalted and magnified in our midst. Lord, we pray for your anointing to fall upon Pastor Nathan as he preaches to us. Lord, also anoint our ears and our hearts that we may receive the word as it's preached, that we'll hear it with faith, that we'll walk away resolved to obey you in all things, that we'll be a transformed people as a result. But above all, Lord, glorify yourself in this place. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.